just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Most of you probably were here for the first two messages on Jonah, but we'll do a very quick review. Jonah was asked to do something by God, and the Bible describes him as a man of God. He was a prophet, and he was God's man. But when God asked him to go to Nineveh, he decided he wasn't going. He was going to go the other way. And at first we wonder why. Then we realize as we got further down the narrative, he hated the Ninevites. He didn't want to go there. Not because he was afraid, but because, well, he was. He was afraid God was going to forgive him. Because he said, I know you. I knew this was going to happen. I know you knew you were going to forgive him. And he wanted him judged. So he thought he had a good deal going. God's going to pronounce judgment. And if nobody warns them, they're not going to repent. And if they don't repent, they're not going to get forgiven. And if they don't get forgiven, they're going to die. And so Jonah thought he had it figured out. And so he went the other direction. He ran away from God. He thought he could get away from God. I don't know why he thought that, but he thought that. Then when he ended up in the belly of the whale after all that took place, and then he was having second thoughts because he thought, maybe God can't hear me down here in the bottom of the ocean, in the belly of a fish. Maybe I've really done it. I've gotten away from the presence of God. And he began to pray. And obviously God heard him. And we kind of left Jonah last week. We took note that Jonah was deposited on the shore. Big fish, probably can't get too close to shore, must have had to kind of projectile him onto the beach, okay? And so we just said the fish hurled him onto the beach. Now, we know that he had seaweed wrapped around his head because the account said he had seaweed wrapped around his head. That means he had, well, you know. So, that means there was other things in the fish other than him and the seaweed. There was probably other things too. So when this deposit was made on the beach, it probably was just a glob. And I believe, now this is just me, but back then the fishermen always lined the shores. There's hardly a place that you couldn't find a fisherman somewhere because this was their living. And they had their nets hanging up, drying. They were mending their nets. They had their boats around the shore. And my feeling is somebody, some fisherman, saw this take place. Okay? Now, this is a review from last week. Big head comes out of the water. It's monstrous fish. Projectile hits the beach. The fishermen are standing there going, whoa. They've never seen anything like that before in their lives. Probably never happened before. Probably hasn't happened since. But here is the deposit on the beach, and out of it rises Jonah. Except for his appearance was probably changed, don't you think? I mean, after spending 3 days in the belly of a fish, maybe his clothes were partly digested. His hair was probably digested off. His eyebrows, and he was a dark fellow because he was, you know, Mideast type person, and he was probably white like your coat. Yeah. Bleached him white. So he stands up out of this, and these fishermen saw him. Now, it doesn't change the story, my little addition to it, but I think when Jonah decided to listen to God the second time, we read in the text, it said that God spoke to Jonah the second time. Now, when God has to tell you the second time, after you've been through what you've been through the first time, maybe it's a good idea. So Jonah thought, I'm going to do this thing. But Jonah is still only halfway there. God has worked on Jonah. Jonah just spent time in the belly of the whale. He was rescued out of a totally impossible situation. How many know that we pray to be rescued from totally impossible situations many times, God delivers us, but we're still not totally grateful. We still haven't gotten to where we need to be because it seems like in a few days, we still got a bad attitude. How many think Jonah had a bad attitude? How many think he had a good attitude? All right, some of you just can't lift your arms up. Don't worry. We're 20 minutes from food. So, Jonah still had a bad attitude because he went, and I think it was all right to start with to have that bad attitude because it says that he went to Nineveh. He says to the people, he says, verse 4, and Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now in the Hebrew, that overthrown doesn't mean just captured. In the Hebrew meaning of it, it means totally destroyed. That's the connotation of that overthrown in that Hebrew text. Totally destroyed. I remember I told you last week that a generation later, 60 years later, they were overthrown and destroyed. And that's where Nineveh lies today in rubble out in the desert covered with dirt and grass in Aramaic or in Hebrew. They call it the Sheephill, and that was the city. But it took a generation for the kids to forget God, to forget what had happened in Nineveh, to forget the repentance. And we see amazing revival take place here in Nineveh that would be awesome to see all over the world and in the United States of America. So he went and he began to cry out and he said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now notice he didn't say, repent. He just said, you're toast. Now I don't know if God gave him the whole message, but I think he only told him this part. You guys are toast. 40 days, it's done. Sorry, it's over. God sent him to say that. And in verse 5 it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Do you know how big that is? The people of Nineveh believed God. Proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Now that is a revival. I've been in several revivals in my lifetime. The movement, nationwide revival, or just a regional revival, I've been in several of them. There's different hallmarks of a revival. But the main hallmark of a revival is when people turn away from their sin and they turn to God. That's a revival. When people abandon their evil and turn to God, that's a revival. And so these people did it, and they did it with gusto. It wasn't just a wimpy Minnesota nice revival. I mean, these people quit eating. They fasted. They quit drinking even. They put on sackcloth. And everything in their economy came to a screeching halt. This isn't the kind of revival. You can't do these kind of things and have everything continue to go. People didn't go to work. This is my observation. People didn't go to work. Commerce ceased. People stopped doing what they're doing. All the busyness that they were involved in, all the things that kept them so busy, all of a sudden wasn't important anymore. Because they believed God that in 40 days, they were toast. And so they decided, we aren't going to eat. They probably decided they weren't going to eat for the whole 40 days. But at any rate, they were serious about turning away from their sin. It wasn't just surface. This is the real deal. Verse 5 again. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Verse 6. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. The king did one better than the people. he went to sit in the ashes. Now, I'm sure that if this message maybe would have come to the king first, the king would have said, get out. But he saw the reaction of the people. He saw from the greatest to the least, these people were fasting, they were wearing sackcloth, they were mourning their evilness, their sin. And the king saw this and he heard the message and he realized there is something here. I'm telling you, in the United States of America, if the people rose up and began to serve God, turn, repent, and serve God, our leaders would have to do the same thing or they wouldn't be there, right? We wait for them to lead, but it's up to the people. That's what happened in Nineveh. They didn't wait for the king to tell them to have revival. Now, the king wanted to add a few things to it, so he did. And we'll go on to the next verse here. He was sitting in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Now this is capital G. He's talking about Jonah's God. They were probably aware of the God of the Jews. They probably had heard stories about the God of the Jews. But now they're crying out to the God of the Jews. One man who was obedient to God, more or less, brought the message, and an entire city of 100+ thousand people repented and came to the Lord. And you think you can't make a difference. And he wasn't even very nice about it. He went in there really enjoying that message. And people were touched by God. So he caused it to be proclaimed. And then verse 8, but let man or beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil ways and from the violence that is in his hands. He didn't say, everybody feel sorry for your sin. Too many times that's the way we repent. Well, I really feel sorry about my sin. That's a good thing. But this is the real deal. He said, turn from his evil way. That's real repenting. Not just feeling sorry. Quitting is repenting. About face is the Greek word. Repenting. And so the king figured that out. And he proclaimed that, and people were already grieving over their evil ways. And so revival took place in that city. And verse 9, I like this. They didn't know that God was going to forgive them. They did not know that. All they knew is God said, this city is going to be overthrown in 40 days. Verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? They were smarter than Jonah. Really? Jonah didn't know how to repent. He had to get swallowed by a fish in order for him to get where he's supposed to go. He preaches a simple message, powerful but simple message, to Nineveh, and 100,000+ people repented of their sins. And then they're going, maybe God will forgive us. You know, we have the advantage of knowing that when we come to God, after we have made a mistake, or after we have slipped, after we have fallen down, after we have messed up, or maybe we've never come to God before, but we come for the first time, we know he's going to forgive us. The Word of God tells us that he's going to forgive us. These people didn't know that, and they still repented. I had a young man call me last night. He was in this church many years ago as a teenager. Maybe a young teen, I don't remember. Some of you will know who it is when I say his name. His name is Jonah. Jonah was in Teen Challenge and he got his life pretty well straightened out. But then Jonah went backwards again. And when Jonah called me, Jonah was kind of at the bottom of the barrel. Things had fallen apart for him. Things weren't going good at all. And you can be praying for Jonah. And my son Jason just happened to be there. And after I talked to Jonah for a while, and one of the things he wanted to know, will God still forgive me? Have I gone too far? Can God still forgive me? Has he rejected me? And I could, without hesitation, without any doubts in my own mind, I could say, no, you have not gone too far. He said, what about people and the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? I said, when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, what you do is you reject. See, this guy came and said, Jesus is casting out demons by demons, and that's when Jesus said that. He's blaspheming the Holy Spirit. If you don't respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, if you don't recognize Jesus Christ as who he is, and that's what the Holy Spirit does, he helps to illuminate that to us. If we reject the Holy Spirit's prompting and pulling and leading to us to the point where we can't even hear it anymore, to the point where we can't respond to Jesus Christ anymore, there isn't any other way to be saved. He was crying out to God. Do you think he'd gone too far? No. I told him, I said, as long as you feel prompted to come to the Lord, it is he who is drawing you. Amen. Right? He rededicated his life to the Lord on the phone last night. He's got some messed up things in his life. Sometimes you have to be in the belly of a fish. I put him on the phone with Jason. Jason goes, no, no, no. And Jason took the phone and went in the other room, and he spent about 10 or 15 minutes talking to him. Couldn't hear what he's saying, but I could hear his tone, and I knew he was encouraging him. Jason just kind of came out of that same stuff. And I knew he knew better what to say to him than I did. So you be praying for Jonah. Jonah, isn't that a coincidence? Okay, I'm wrapping it up here. I'm not even going to get to chapter 4, Paul. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, it just keeps going on and on. Okay, so verse 8. No, sorry, Paul, verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? And I love verse 10. At Harlow's theme today, we're set free. We have an opportunity to be set free from our sin, from the penalty of sin, from the bondage that holds us to sin, from the devil's tricks and schemes. We can be set free from all of that. It's all in Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 10. Then God saw their works. Didn't say he heard their words. He saw their works. He saw what they were doing. They were turning away from sin. God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Well, wait, God can't change his mind. God never changes his mind. How can God change his mind? No, God didn't have to change his mind because Jonah changed the circumstances. These people changed the circumstances. They moved out from underneath the judgment of God. God no longer had to judge them. God didn't change his mind. He's always been that way. If you come to him, ask for forgiveness, he will forgive you. Your sins, your past is wiped away. If you can persist and continue to stay in your old ways, you are under judgment. It's that simple. Right? No. That's what I thought. All right, we're going to close. Now, did I preach that whole thing last week? Is this all rehashed from last week? Or no, we got some new stuff. Good. Because I got two churches, and I'm going on the same sermon. I don't know what day it is even. Well, we're going to close. Have everyone bow their heads and close their eyes. Okay, I'm not even going to give a specific altar call with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. You know what God's speaking to you. I don't want to limit it. And so if God's speaking to you something, I won't even know what it is, maybe. But if God's speaking to you something, and he's dealing with you, your heart about something, next week we're going to be talking about forgiveness again. Tough one. But if he's dealing with you about something, just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me that the Lord will be able to help me? I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anyone else? He's just speaking to your heart about something. It's between you and him. I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. See that hand? You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Kind of helps if the pastor quits talking, doesn't it? That. We're going to pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that above all that is your grace and your mercy that wins out. Above all, it is your love that draws us to yourself. It is your desire that we spend eternity with you. It is not your desire for us to be under wrath, to be under judgment. And you're doing everything that you can do to bring us into that place where you can bless us to the fullest extent. For you, your heaven, your heart is full of blessings that all we have to do is line up for, be in the right place, and you will pour them out on us with a smile on your face. So, Lord, for those that have lifted their hands, I pray, Lord, that you would help them with whatever it is that you and them are dealing with. And I pray, Lord, they would come out of this victorious and more like Jesus today. We just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.